So I guess we'll I'll start off with my first question here, Dr. Harding. So Dr. Harding, when you were here in Winnipeg in the spring of 2009, you talked about the kind of the prospect of the Obama presidency and sort of what that would entail and what that would also mean for America as well. And there was sort of a euphoria in the air around that time. Now it's been about 3 years later, and it seems that in a lot of cases that euphoria that was once there is kind of evaporated, and many of the people who once were very supportive of Barack Obama and very hopeful seem to be very frustrated, and a lot of them now voicing their criticisms. One notable example would be Dr. Cornel West, who is I think it was a couple months ago, was very, very vocal of his criticisms of Obama. So I want to know, what is your response to these sort of this criticism that is coming at Obama, as well as sort of this, it seems that this frustration that has been kind of brewing over the last couple of years.
I have too many responses to be able to get them all into our time. Let me just give you two or three of the things that are on my mind. First, I suspect that many people who were living in a great sense of hope and excitement, especially during the Obama campaign and in the first days of the post-inauguration, were living as I was, with a sense of connection to the Obama that we met in Dreams from My Father, his early memoir. I felt then, and I still feel now, that what we had seen was a man of great intelligence, compassion, and a man with a sense of the way in which his own personal history has been tied to the history of the struggle that we have carried on in this country to create a more perfect union, especially grounded in the struggles of the black community in America. That was one of the deepest sources of our connection to Obama. The second thing I want to reflect on is a conversation that I had recently with my daughter, who is also a historian, and who was commenting on and feeling somewhat sad about the kind of sense of disillusionment that seemed to be present in large sectors of both the larger American community and the African American community. And one of the things that came strongly to me was the experience that I had in Washington on the day of the inauguration. It was a powerful, deep, and very real sense that something right, something good, something necessary was taking place, and that throughout the campaign, we were engaging in something that was, to use a very old-fashioned word, that was righteous. I encourage my beloved daughter, Rachel, to keep that history in mind, the history of our participation in the campaign and our participation in the joy of the election, and never to forget how very real that was for us, and not to let anything push that out of our mind or out of our spirit. That's the second thing that I want to reflect on. That we were engaged in something that was of great significance, and we ought not to beat up ourselves and say, no, that was not something rich and powerful and beautiful with great possibilities. That's the second thing I think, as I think about where we are now. And Scott, the third thing is that as someone who is literally obsessed with the possibility of building a truly compassionate, just, and democratic society, I keep reminding myself and others that it is dangerous for us to keep focusing on what one man is doing, can do, will do, won't do. That is not the best way to think about the building of a democratic society. That is the temptation toward the search for the great leader, the search for the great charismatic guy. That is all very human, very understandable, but it is not the best building block for the creation of a democratic society. We must always be asking, who are we? And what is it that we must do? And where have we failed? And what shall we do to recapture the responsibility that we have? We, not primarily or only him. So I keep trying to move the conversation away from an almost, what shall I say, unhealthy focus on him, and to remind ourselves that we, the people of the United States, are the ones who are supposed to be building a more perfect union. And the question about what is good, what is bad, what's been done, what's not been done, must be focused on us at least as much as on him. And that's where I see myself organizing my thoughts, my feelings, my ideas, and that's what I pass on to you now.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, Dr. Harding, I mean, I was going to bring it up, but I'm glad you touched upon it, that, you know, people were the very real and understandable human need to look for the great leader. But in many ways, in many ways too, do you also see it that perhaps that need was so great maybe because for so long the politics of cynicism and sort of the politics of negativity had been winning, and a lot of people felt so powerless that that's the only thing they thought that could actually make a difference is to get the powerful leader. What do you think of that?
I don't think it was the power that was the issue. I think people wanted a more compassionate, more intelligent, more democratically oriented leader, not a more powerful leader. A democracy does not need more powerful leaders. It needs leaders who can help the people to develop their power.
Well, also on the subject of you're talking about the criticisms of Barack Obama the sort of unhealthy criticisms, but you yourself wrote a very very moving letter in response to when Osama bin Laden was killed. Could you talk about that letter and sort of where why you decided to write this and you know what it was about, please?
I wrote the letter because I felt that there was a great danger for our president to immerse himself in the all too American pattern of vigilanteism, of gangsterism, and of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth-ism, if I can put all of that in one ism. I wrote the letter also because I felt that one of the major responsibilities a leader of a democracy has, especially a leader of a democracy that is filled with needy young people, that one of the great responsibilities that such a leader has is in every possible way to model what it means to really be human and what it means to really live a democratic style of life. And I felt that there was a great danger that President Obama's giving his full commitment and permission to the action of the SEALs was dangerously close to saying to our young people, especially our young men of color all over this country, that the best way to deal with your enemies is to get rid of them, to destroy them, to do damage to them. And it seems to me that all over this country, what we are seeing is that when that spirit is let loose, it becomes almost a demonic spirit. And the young people destroy themselves, destroy each other, destroy their community. And I thought that that it was absolutely necessary for creative, compassionate, and wise presidents to constantly seek out opportunities to model something different. And so I was deeply disappointed and wanted to express that and wanted to encourage the president to seek after what Abraham Lincoln would have called his best angels rather than his worst.
Well, moving kind of forward here, Dr. Harding, kind of looking a bit to the future, campaign, I guess, Obama is already fundraising. He's already kind of back on the campaign trail, seeking re-election, as well as the Republicans are now choosing, trying to decide who will be their leader. In this upcoming election, there's a lot of people, you hear quite a bit in the media saying that it's a good chance Obama will lose. What do you think of the prospects for America in the future, and especially in light of some of the candidates who are running for the Republican nomination are definitely, I think, too many progressive-minded people perhaps are quite scary. If you could just say one thing about what as far as you see going forward with this upcoming election.
Scott, if you limit me to one thing, it would be not to let our lives be governed by who is scary.
Maybe I'll give you another two then. another two things then.
I think that in a democratic society, we have to always be asking the question, what are the things that we can do to build the deepest grounding of our democracy? My sense is that we are at a very tough and difficult moment in the history of our country. My sense is that, as King constantly was saying to us towards the end of his life, we are required to become a more mature country, to think about what it means really to be a just and democratic society. And I think that we have to just test ourselves out and realize, for one thing, that who we elect is only one part of how the future gets built. We are going to have to still be responsible, whoever we elect, for building the pressures, building the movements, building the truth that will push up against whoever is elected. And so I say that we should be learning from this last 4 years that the task that we have is a great task, and we should not be going towards the election still holding on to the idea that the president is going to make all the difference. Only when we give up can the president make that much of a difference. every president that I have known of in the 20th century, at least, when they have been at their best, they've called upon the people to push them, to demand from them, to stand up to them, to lean on them. And I think that we must still be thinking, acting in that direction. And that's why I started out with not who is scary or who is not scary, or who is noble or who is progressive. All of that is important. But the question still comes back to, and who are we? Who are we? What is our responsibility?
Well put, Dr. Harding. Thank you for giving your time and your thoughts on these very important issues. As you had said, this is a major crossroads in America. Thank you again for giving your time to do this interview and sharing your thoughts on this.
Very happy to be able to do it, Scott.